North-South Connection. Welcome to another episode, another edition of Viewer's Choice. I am Tim.
I am Marcus.
And we are out of breath. We are exhausted.
Not from going up two flights of stairs. Well, no.
It's you. You're a physical specimen. I'm a physical experiment. a science project, if you will. But yeah, we just did some karate in the garage, and man, all out. I had, if you listen to our other podcast, not on the North-South Connection, Final Wrestling Place, at Final Place Pod on Twitter, finalwrestlingplace.buzzsprout.com for all of the live weekly podcasts that we do. This week we had a podcast on anticipation. And we were both highly anticipating this event tonight. And I don't want to completely show our hand for what we do here on Viewer's Choice, but I think anticipation, our expectations were exceeded. Would you say so?
Without question.
100% as a other famous podcaster and man who's made more money in wrestling than we've ever made in our lives.
And lost.
Oh, that's right. So, if you have not seen All Out, or if you've not listened to Viewer's Choice, what Marcus and I do here is we break down the pay-per-view at large and tell you what's must-see, what's must-miss, and who the MVP of the event actually is. As I still am catching my breath.
I'll start us off.
Oh, you've got the card with you.
I'll start us off. So, on the buy-in, we had the best friends, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, Wheeler Yuta, and the Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, with Marco Stunt. Taking on the Hardy Family Office, Matt Hardy, Private Party of Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, and the Hybrid 2, Angelico and Jack Evans, best friends and good guys up in that one. We had Miro taking on Eddie Kingston in the first official match of the pay-per-view for the AEW TNT Championship. We had Jon Moxley and Satoshi Kojima.
All right, we have officially we're gonna take over from Marcus here because he's just gonna try his best. Jon Moxley and Satoshi Kojima one-on-one.
Thank you.
In our second matchup of the night.
I'm learning.
We've got Britt Baker, LA Knight, taking on Chris Statlander for the AEW World Women's Championship. In a cage match for the AEW Tag Team titles, we've got the Lucha Brothers taking on the Young Bucks. We've got the Casino Battle Royale with Cheese for the number one contendership to the AEW Women's World Championship. In the final fight, we had MJF and Chris Jericho. And then in a classic triple main event, we've got Darby Allin and CM Punk. We've got the Big Show and QT Marshall. And, of course, in your super ultra main event of the evening, it is Christian Cage challenging the AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega. I feel as though if we were to do a podcast on the must-see moments of All Out, we could easily just say the entire event, right?
We could as a whole. Like, there was way more good than there was bad. And the amount of good made it worth sitting through the little bit of bad on the show.
And I wouldn't even say that the things that are bad are must skip.
I would just say they're things that met expectations.
Basically, what we're trying to say here is Chris Jericho gave you a Chris Jericho match. And Big Show, no BS Paul White, excuse me. No BS Paul White gave you a no BS Paul White match.
Effectively.
Literally, everything else is at least watchable. Watchable is the bottom of the bar. everything else is either exceeds watchable or is match of the year.
Yeah, and I guess we can even change up the format a little bit since we've already said, like, if you are going to skip anything, Jericho MJF isn't anything you haven't seen before. If you've ever seen a No More BS Paul White matchup,
yeah,
then you know what to expect as well. Both of those things met expectations. So from here, we could almost go must watch.
Like, absolutely.
Go out of your way to go check this out.
Go out of your way. So we will limit ourselves to three matches on the card of must see, must watch. And I'm going to start off with the opening match of the evening.
Yep.
Miroslav, the TNT champion, God's favorite champion, and Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Aspiring wrestlers, please watch Eddie Kingston, because he is about as good a flag to follow as anyone that's ever been there. He is a grown man. His character is one that is a tough guy. If you are a wrestler and you say, I'm not as tough as Eddie Kingston, watch this match, and then tell me why he can get knocked down in one strike and you can't. Tell me. Everything he does, he just fights.
He gives you... And this has always been like my main praise of Shawn Michaels is the...
Watch out now.
Oh, yeah. But the amount, the varying emotions that Shawn Michaels will experience as a character. Eddie Kingston gives you that in a match. Especially a big match. I absolutely loved it. That's a must watch for me too. Incredible. And I don't... he's saying performance, but like just... the match that they put on was incredible, and hopefully this is just act one.
And you know what they say? Doesn't matter about act one or act two.
You're going to say that?
You were the one who used the line act, so.
Even the way.
However, you're so hung up on saying the word performance, but yet you will use the three-act structure.
Yeah, well, Even the way that that contest came to a close, this is something, a criticism of WWE has been, for right or for wrong, it doesn't matter who the official is, right? All officials are replaceable. The referees are just in there. It doesn't matter who it is. In AEW, it does matter. It does matter who is officiating your match. Some refs might hold tight to the rules. Some refs might be a little bit more active than other refs. I thought Bryce Remsburg did a fantastic job in this match. They did a fantastic job of utilizing Bryce. And even the way that it played into the finish, where Bryce is covering the unprotected turnbuckle and they're sandwiched up against Bryce, and Miro hits the Ric Flair style low blow.
He redeems those nuts.
I thought that was amazing, that the match... The swing point of the matchup was the low blow after Eddie Kingston talked about redeem these nuts.
And even the story beyond the match. All of Eddie Kingston's high profile matches in AEW have been Bryce refereeing. When King challenged Jon Moxley for the AEW championship, Bryce Remsburg pretty much called the match and saw that King was like hurt, and King was like, I want to keep going. And Bryce was kind of humanizing to King. There is a connection between Bryce and King that is acknowledged in AEW lore.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, Bryce now, King is fighting for good.
Mm-hmm.
King, don't win like this. Stop. Don't win like this.
Right.
And then he gets caught on the bad thing,
right,
and ends up losing.
And you got to think about it as well from the referee's position. it has been acknowledged that Bryce and King go way, way back.
Correct.
So if Bryce lets King use the exposed turnbuckle.
Favoritism.
And now that calls into question all of his refereeing decisions and his intelligence and his integrity moving forward. And he can't have that.
You can't teach that, for sure.
That's not it.
What would you say is your second must-see match of the evening?
I can't say I'm about to say this.
I think you're going to say the same thing as me.
Steel cage match for the AEW tag team titles.
I think the phrase that we had a conversation off mic, and the Young Bucks are the kings of, some would call it, high spot porn.
Mm-hmm.
They are high spot porn stars. Don't nobody do it better than them.
Nope.
You ain't never going to be better than them.
Nope.
And even if you hate it, you watch it.
Yep.
And you're like, dang.
That was good.
Lucha Brothers, the
oh my gosh.
Phoenix and Penta. I'm not normally, like, I am impressed with their physical gifts. They are super talented, but they're not for me.
Mm-hmm.
In this matchup, like, you could tell they had a ton of chemistry. You could tell they were very giving of each other. You could tell that they were ready to go out there and tear it down, and they did. Penta hit a gusher of all gushers.
Ooh.
Like, very bad.
It was at least a 4-alarmer.
Oh yeah, Muda scale up there.
Yeah, that was juicy.
Very, very juicy. A little starburstian. And you got to give it to Nick and Matt Jackson, too. Like, it takes two to tango. And for as good as the Lucha Brothers are, the Bucks, since becoming more of themselves, so to speak, and being the swarmy, slimy, greaseball.
Mm-hmm.
Heels, they have been very entertaining on AEW television.
Right, it allows them to play to their potential.
For sure.
The handcuffs are off. They have no restrictions, and that's when the Bucks are best. Well, not when they're trying to be cheered. It's when they're so good that you hate to see them. And even just the way, like, I was almost checked out of the match. Like, the match was up and down, and then it hit this point that most Young Bucks have recently, where the Bucks just take over, and they just decimate your favorites. It happened to King and Mox. Who did they defend the titles last?
Jurassic Express.
Jurassic Express. It happened. Like, it reaches this point where they just 2v1 your favorite tag team.
I mean, they did the same thing to win the titles with Omega and Adam Page.
Yeah, yep. And we beat FTR.
Yep.
So it got to that point in the match. I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. Where, like, the Young Bucks are just going to hit their moves and win. And that's very hard for me to believe, especially inside of a steel cage. Because I'm like, okay, you can be a great high flyer. You can be a great tag team. But, like, you can't be, like, unbeatable and tough as well. Like, that's all the boxes, and you just can't, like, that's not fair.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
You put in the cheat code.
Yeah. I'm
NBA,
like, okay.
Jam, you, like, unlocked Air Dog and Bill Clinton.
Like, this is too much. It's too much. And so it was looking like it was going down that path. And then they hit their knee, being the elite thing.
BTE trigger.
Thank you. And then I think it was Phoenix kicked out.
Yep.
Or Penta. Penta kicked out. One of them kicked out.
Mm.
Incredible. The crowd woke up, and it was like a whole new match from there. You can divide the match in half, even though that was probably like up to 70% of the match, and the last 30% of the match. They got out the thumbtack shoe. They got out. Oh my gosh! Just trick on trick on trick. The big jump off the cage. There's so much happened, and then the aftermath with Penta
and his family
and hugging his brother with the tag titles up on stage in Chicago.
And, like,
incredible
seeing the AEW tag title with Penta's blood on it was such a visual for me. Like, that title, as oddly as it sounds, it seems like that title was made to be bloodstained. The way that it, like, it
glistened.
It can't, like, there's crevices in the belt where the blood can sit. Oh my gosh.
That's
like,
his belt now.
It's gross, but it's like, that's his belt. And, but the tag match, absolutely go out of your way and watch it. Here's where I think it gets a little difficult. Because I feel like we're torn between two matches for what's the third must-see match. But I wouldn't say either of them are like super must-see. The spectacle of CM Punk returning after 7 years and seeing what he can accomplish and seeing how rusty he may be and how rusty he wasn't is definitely worth watching if you are a CM Punk fan. Mm-hmm. And that is your steez, as some would like to say. The AEW World Championship, a very solid matchup. I'm very glad that Kenny Omega has found this new life called not super crazy title matches. I'm very happy that he is getting the same treatment that like AJ Styles got from Christian when Christian went to Impact. AJ was captain doing too much. Christian comes along. Hey, we're going to do a little less.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Omega's match with the Impact title and the match tonight, this is a Kenny Omega that's very palpable. I can live with this Kenny Omega, but this match is not must see for the match. It is must see for the post-match credit. Like in Marvel movie lore, you watch, sometimes you go to a Marvel movie to watch the movie, but most of the times you stay for after the credits. Kenny Omega picks up the victory, spoiler, but then we get the after credits. So the must see number three is everything from the end of the world title match to the end of the pay-per-view. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. Yeah. And I have no problem lumping all that together in one package.
I'm fine with that too. Because it does tie in. I went into the pay-per-view assuming that Kenny and the Bucks would lose the titles at the same time.
Correct.
So when earlier in the night they lose the tag titles to the Lucha Brothers,
seems like a don't data.
Part of me is like, oh, Christian's winning here. But then logic took over, and I'm like, they're not going to make another person double champion
right
after. This isn't the Eurocontinental title. We're not just going to make one Eurocontinental champion and then another Eurocontinental champion. Like, it's definitely two. The match is absolutely stellar. Well-placed. Christian's a god.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Omega's super great, too. Don Callis is good. Everybody plays their parts.
Yep.
Kenny Omega picks up the Duke. And then the beatdown happens.
With a spectacle of a move. Like, we can't gloss over that.
Yes.
The super-duper top rope one-winged deal insane.
The new murder death kill. The super murder bump.
Insane move. I can't believe
not
Christian
murder death
took
kill
that.
That's trademarked to Nick Gage, and I'm not trying to get the Gage heads and the CZW elitists to come after me, but the 2021 version of the super FU, the super foo, as we like to call it, super one winged angel. I turned to Marcus as soon as it happened, and I was like, if I were a wrestler and he pitched that to me, I'd be like, can we do something else? I don't want to take anything. I feel like there's only one other thing that's more the business than that, and that's the Thoracic Express.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather take that one wing deal.
I would talk, like, if I had the choice.
Oh, man. But, so, yeah, like, that's how the contest ends. super duper finisher, totally like really, really good match. But then we get to the post match, which is kind of what everybody had been waiting for.
And yet again, we talked about this on Final Wrestling Place, not to turn viewer's choice into a 30-minute plug of our other podcast, but you should listen to it because it's super fun and terrific and great. And that's just me tooting my own horn. I'm Arn Anderson over here, just toot, toot, toot. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, AEW giving us what we want without the nice, like, extra.
Mm-hmm.
Like, letting the worst-kept secrets just be. And going into tonight, there were three horribly kept secrets. One took place in the Women's Casino Battle Royale.
Absolutely.
With Ruby Soho debuting and winning the Casino Battle Royale.
Huge moment.
The other was newly acquired free agent Adam Cole, baby, becoming All Elite. And so Kenny Omega is cutting this promo, and he's like, there's no one in AEW. There's no one that can touch me. They're either not here, or I've already beat them, or they're dead. And Adam Cole's AEW music hits, and out he comes. And I'm not proud to admit this, Joe. Please don't hate me for this, but I'm one of those BTE lifers. I've been watching that show that only idiots watch, or what's his thing?
Attention deficit criminals.
No, I'm not an ECW fan. I've been a BTE fan for a long time. So I remember when Adam Cole got jumped out of the Elite to go to WWE.
Right. I remember that too.
And they killed Adam Cole.
Right.
So when they said they're dead and then Adam Cole shows up, I'm like, they're calling back to that stupid stuff that nobody watches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paid off for knowing, reading the comic books of the MCU. You know, that's what it is to me. I'm following the backstory. Adam Cole comes out. He's got a All Elite baby shirt. And Cole standing across from Kenny and the Elite. And I tap Marcus, and I'm like, ah.
No.
And sure enough.
Super kick.
Super kick to the Jungle Boy. And Kenny Omega embraces Adam Cole. The Young Bucks give Adam Cole double smoochers, and he gets to cut a promo. A little jab at Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're off to the races. Kenny does goodbye and good night, boing. And to quote a Cat Williams line from one of his specials, oh, they brought Dick too. And out comes the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, to this hip-hop Ride of the Valkyries. And why does he look jacked and ripped and tan? You know what? That wasn't Bryan Danielson. I think that Buddy Murphy's new wrestling name is Bryan Danielson. Because that was Budrow Murphy, right?
Could have been.
Same haircut. Jacked, just yoked.
There is something to be said for people.
He can't be vegan and that jacked, right?
I don't know. I don't know if that's scientifically possible.
If he's that jacked and he's a vegan, maybe you should try it.
I don't think that's going to happen. But there is something to be said for people leaving one company and going to another company and just looking relieved and healthy and jacked and ripped and tan.
Like, he looked, for someone who's just had another baby, he looks so rested.
Yeah, you can tell his baby must be a sleeper, because My man was looking good.
Looking real good.
Yeah. And now, full disclosure, like, I don't know if you're a big American Dragon, Brian Danielson guy. Personally, I'm not. I recognize that he is one of the best, if not the best professional wrestler on the planet.
You were definitely, so to put everything out there, he will deny this to certain circles. But in Ring of Honor, you were more in the CM Punk camp.
100%.
You're a CM Punker.
100%.
And I was a Samoa Joe guy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I dabbled in Bryan Danielson, especially...
Socially.
Especially, yeah, I was a social Daniel Bryan, a Bryan Danielson guy. But especially in his second run with the company.
Yeah.
So if you remember his first run in Ring of Honor, he can never win the world title and he leaves. Then he comes back and that's when he goes on his god tear. He wins the ROH world title. He has a stranglehold on the belt and then loses it to Nigel McGuinness, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He loses it to...
Homicide,
who loses it to Naomichi Marufuji, not Marufuji, Morishima. Takeshi Morishima. Mm-hmm. And then Morishima loses it to Nigel. So, either way, it's insane. And to think that we're getting, like, the perfect form of Bryan Danielson now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're getting the passion of that former Bryan Danielson with all this WWE knowledge now.
Right.
Like, he knows how to be a wrestler and a sports entertainer.
Yeah.
I need a cigarette.
That's why we need to catch our breath when we got up here.
Right. Like, I'm the gall of Tony Khan and this EWR fed that he's running.
Yeah, and we are the first people to denounce surprise culture. Like, something is not good just because you got surprised. Something is not good just because there was a debut. Like, for me, the Raws after WrestleMania, right? People think it's good, but I'm like, that was just a Raw, except, like, three people from NXT got called up. Like, that doesn't make it any more better. Like, it's just, you're popping for a surprise. It's the way that these are done with the, like, originality, integrity, but also, like, giving people what they want. And we are so hand shy from having WWE as the only main game in town for the most part of the last 20 years.
And we explain this on Viewer's Choice, the difference between the CM Punk debut and the Becky Lynch return.
Yes, back at SummerSlam.
Yes.
The SummerSlam, excuse me.
The SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And very much so, AEW gave us three in-your-face, you know this is coming, there's no one else this could be, we're giving it to you right here. They did it with Ruby, they did it with Adam Cole, and they did it with Bryan Danielson. And it's going to be so hard for me to call him Bryan Danielson and not Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it's been over 10 years.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. So my apologies to all Amdrag fans out there.
But yeah, they don't jerk us around. Like, they give it to us. They give it to us good. And, like, that's all we want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we've missed for the last 20 years. Over. But... like, it's just good. Like, it's a fastball, and it's a fastball down the middle of the plate. But it's coming in at 99.
Yeah, like, it's Nolan Ryan, the Nolan Express.
Yeah, like,
the Rocket's coming.
It's just refreshing that, like, oh, you thought this person was really coming out? Ha ha, you're stupid. It's somebody else's music. Like, that was the spot that everybody wanted MJF to do 2 weeks ago when Punk came back, or 3 weeks ago.
Or not even what people wanted to do. They're so hand shy that they're like, oh, they're in Chicago. They're going to dick us around and they're going to play CM Punk's music. And then MJF's going to come out and say, well, he's not here. Them.
Right. And then deliver Punk.
Right.
And, like, what good does that do except, like,
belabor the point.
Belabor the point and also teach people not to react authentically to somebody's theme music.
Especially like a theme you've never heard before. Like if all of a sudden Cult of Personality played in WWE on Monday tomorrow and somebody else comes out, we're all trained, oh, that's CM Punk. Mm-hmm. They're obviously doing this to like jerk our chain and like make us like, oh, you thought this was CM Punk, you idiots, he's with the other guys. It doesn't do any good. Doesn't do anybody any favors. It's cheap.
Yeah.
It's whack.
Yeah, but that's like they did it tonight in the Jericho match. And I thought that's where you do that.
But kind also, of. Like he was doing it against the opponent,
right?
That everybody knew was Jericho,
right? And it was the countdown. Everybody thought, oh, cool, this is going to be Chris Jericho's entrance, and it wasn't. It was MJF's entrance. It was the countdown of Jericho's last match. I thought that was well done. If you're going to do the spot,
it was cute,
right? Cute. That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
It just feels so good after one of these pay-per-views. That, I mean, we've been chilling watching wrestling now pretty much all day, but especially with All Out, I mean, coming up on 5 hours, 5.5 hours, it doesn't feel like it.
Hey, like, WrestleMania. Why? It's not that hard. They gave us 10 matches plus 11 if you count. Is it 10 with the pre-show or is it 10 on All Out?
Not sure. Plus, that's, we had a couple promos here and there.
It's 10 including the buy-in.
Okay.
So 9 matches plus the buy-in.
Do we even mention the Murder Grandpa himself?
We didn't even talk about Murder Gramps.
Full disclosure, I don't know if I've ever actually seen a Murder Grandpa match.
Minoru Suzuki. I got you.
Thank you. I don't know
if you can't say Satoshi Kojima, there's no way you're saying Minoru.
I'll pun on that one. I'll pun on that one.
Okay, so here you go.
I know Minoru Suzuki. I got that one.
Just think Harley Race, and instead of Kabuki,
Suzuki.
There you go.
You'll never take the money.
You'll never forget it.
Too bad there's not a bounty out on Moxley.
Well, he's the big game hunter now. Not to be confused with the elite hunter.
Well, who's the big game hunter? John Moxley?
John Moxley.
We have too many hunters running around.
Does somebody say that there's a hunter?
Could be one more coming. Who knows?
You know.
Yeah. Oh,
and did somebody say they were a big game hunter?
Could we take a second just to admire John Moxley? Just like, I don't know when.
Leaning into the dad bod.
But, yo, he is effing yoked.
So, Marcus and I play this internal game sometimes where we're in, like, a group of people. And we'll look around and we will christen someone most dad. John Moxley is most dad 2021.
But in the best ways. Like, he had a baby. My man got the buzz cut. And
because he ain't got time to be keeping up with his hair. He's got a baby now.
And he looks incredible. Like, he looks like a brick wall, man. Like, he looks incredible.
He looks like what I refer to Dan Champion sometimes.
Yes.
Is just like he is just a S brick house. Like, just, he is, yeah. He is thick with two C's.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to Wednesday night Dynamite. With Murder Grandpa, Minoru Suzuki versus John Moxley.
Jan.
That's going to be dope. And that's the other thing, too. Like, they didn't do this at the expense of, like, well, how do you follow that up? Like, I want to watch Dynamite, like, right now. Like,
and that's another thing, too. And I don't want to make this is why AEW is better than WWE, but on the pay-per-view, they told us, here's a match that's happening on Wednesday that you really want to see. John Moxley and Minoru Suzuki. And then Friday, we're getting Andrade El Idolo and Pac that we didn't get tonight.
Right. Yep.
So now, watching the pay-per-view, people who bought it to watch CM Punk for the first time in 7 years now get to see Jon Moxley, Minoru Suzuki. They're informed that they're wrestling on Wednesday. And then they're informed that Neville and Andrade Cien Almas are wrestling on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
AEW does a wonderful job of outlining what's coming on the night of and what's coming down the road. There's no questions. There's no... And I would say, well, WWE would do this, but depending on who you believe, they're writing the shows minutes before they go to air.
Right, which,
so how in the heck are they going to know what's going to happen next week?
Yeah.
Not to slam on them.
And,
but,
you know, writing wrestling last minute is always going to be a thing, but there is something to be said for how AEW does things, which is we are promoting this star versus this star next week, 2 weeks from now, whenever it is. And you don't necessarily need to see either one of those stars before that next match. They can film a promo from home. They can do a little video segment and then have those guys show up. And that is how you create more stars, because instead of seeing, well, we see Jon Moxley tonight and now we're going to see him next week too on Dynamite. No. Hey, during this match of Hangman Page versus this other guy, we're going to see Jon Moxley next week, but now we're going to focus on these guys in the main event.
See Malakai Black and Dustin Rhodes promo,
yes,
from tonight,
yep,
for, I believe it's going to be Dynamite.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you're into Malakai Black, you've got Watch Wednesdays.
Yep.
And like, for as much great talent was on this pay-per-view, there was no Proud and Powerful, no Sammy Guevara,
sheesh,
no FTR, no technically no Jungle Express. They were on the pay-per-view.
Right,
no Orange Cassidy, no Hangman, no Dark Order.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you've got literally so much other talent.
Like, you have a whole
no
other...
Malakai Black. No.
No Cody. Who's a big star, obviously, there.
Right. Like, big fish. But
you have a whole, at least half of a pay-per-view not booked.
You've got a Dynamite.
Yeah.
And that's when you ask the question, how do these people coming from WWE look so fresh and so rested? And how do they stay looking so fresh and so rested in AEW? Because they're not running benders from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday, off Thursday, or off Wednesday, Thursday is a rest day, you're back on the road Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
Like,
right.
They run two nights a week.
Which is the beauty of having two companies again.
And sometimes it's not even two, because I believe they tape one. They tape, like, it's one live Rampage and then a taped Rampage.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think their schedule's going to be a little wacky for a little bit until they get things settled.
But but they have it worked out. Like, it's going to be fine. And that's not even counting, like, the young stars that they have on, like, that they use for Dark and Dark Elevation.
Right. Like, I don't know much about Fuego del Sol. Obviously, the Acclaimed is on a little bit of a breather right now.
Dante Martin.
Right, Dante Martin. The Sydal brothers.
The Varsity Blondes. The Wingmen.
Yeah, Wingmen weren't on here. 2.0 and Danny Garcia.
Don't call him Danny.
Sorry.
Daniel Garcia. Danny Garcia is The Rock's ex-wife.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's Danny with an I?
Danny with an I.
Okay.
Yeah.
The son of
2.0's son.
Yeah.
But not to us fawn over AEW.
Man. Yeah.
Go out of your way. This pay-per-view is on Fight as well as Bleacher Report. I know that there's some people who are Apple users that didn't have the opportunity to get this on BR Live, because BR Live doesn't exist anymore, and the Bleacher Report app isn't on Apple products or Apple TV. But it's on Fight. For the first time, this is a pay-per-view that was on Fight locally in the States.
Yeah.
For the longest time, it was just international. I think AEW noticed that there was some hang-ups with availability with BR Live and then extended it to the fight audience. Very smart, very smooth. This pay-per-view is worth the price of admission. Take your time, spend the $50.
Yeah, and I am not a technological person necessarily. I'm not gifted in that area. It might take me a little second to get from A to B. When using technology, I was able to sign up for Fight, create an account, buy the pay-per-view, all that stuff.
And I didn't even have to help him.
A minute. It's very simple process, and we had no stream issues whatsoever.
Zero. Peacock looking at you.
Yeah. And we are not getting any free t-shirts or anything from Fight. But just want to throw that out there. If you are looking at purchasing the next AEW pay-per-view and using Fight, we had a great experience.
If we have to put a fourth must-watch thing from this, is that the next AEW pay-per-view is on a Saturday.
By God.
High five across the board.
Slap.
August or Saturday, November 13th is when we'll be back for AEW.
God bless.
For us, we'll be back for Extreme Rules, which I think is next Sunday?
No, it can't be.
Is it?
No, it's got to be 2 weeks from now.
No, because they're doing the contract signing for Bianca and Becky on Friday.
No, it can't be. September 26th.
Okay, so
we got like 4 weeks or three.
Gosh,
weeks.
They're doing a contract signing this ahead?
So yeah, we got a full
whole month for the most part.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks.
Well, let us know what you think or what you thought of All Out.
MVP of the night?
MVP of the night. I am going to go with a cheap answer. It is the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. Collectively, like, they were the rock of the entire event. They were like fourth match in, near the middle, tore the house down, and also kind of like set the bar. Like, okay, this is the height. Match this. And luckily, like, the matches underneath maybe didn't get right there, but they played close. With the exception of MJF and Jericho and No BS Paul White and QT Marshall. Quick story. Shout out to MJF with his Cowardly Lion robe.
He looks like the Cowardly Lion when he takes the carpet and he...
And I was the king of the forest.
Sneaking up on me, eh?
I fight with one hand tied behind my back. And so, big fan of that. So, let us know what you think at VC on North South.
Yeah. Eddie Kingston gets my MVP.
He was solid.
Holla.
Very solid. Viewer's Choice Pod, Viewer's Choice Podcast at gmail.com. A shout out to everyone on the North South Connection. If you're listening to this, there is a new project that Marcus and I are involved in, but we're not on the first episode. Well, I technically am, but it is called Chronoso, where every other week, two teams of North South Connection talent are going to break down two vastly underserved eras of wrestling. If you're listening to this right now, if you go back in on the North South Connection pod feed, you'll see episode one of Chronoso, the WWE PG era. And our friends Logan from Squared Circle to Silver Screen, Ryan from the No So Specials, and JP from New Gen on a Mission, they are walking us through WrestleMania 24. And I'll be a narrator of sorts, but we're going to walk through every television and pay-per-view of the WWE PG era. And in 2 weeks, another team led by some of your favorite voices from the North South Connection will be breaking down Jim Crockett Promotions from Starrcade 83 to the first Nitro. So everything leading up to Nitro. They'll be covering every other week on the North South Connection week by week. And of course, there's so many other things on the North South Connection. You can check it all out. NorthSouthConnection.podbean.com. That's your home for all of that. Subscribe to the podcast on your podcatcher of choice. A huge shout out to our pod adjacent friends over at the soon to be named network, soon to be named network.com, soon to be named network.tumblr.com, home of our other podcast, Final Wrestling Place, and many others, including At Odds with Wrestling, We Need Wrestling, and a wrestling theme song podcast that you must listen to called Hit My Music. It's absolutely fantastic, done by our official third man, the man who provides all of the jingles that you usually hear on our podcast. Sorry, there are none this week. We're on the road. All my stuff is kind of locked away. But the Jingle Meister, Mr. David Kincannon, we love him. We appreciate him. Support him at hitmymusic.podbean.com for more. A shout out to our other friends not in the podcast networks with Pod Van Dam, The A Show, Three Count Thursday, so much more. We love them all. If you want to follow us on social media, you can at VC on North South for the podcast, at Not the Tool Man for myself. For Marcus, it's The Wrestling Speakeasy. If you know, you know. As we said, we'll be back here later this month for WWE Extreme Rules. Hopefully no horror show. And just remember that even though, regardless of whatever we tell you about what's must see and must skip, forever and always,
the choice is yours.